Okay, we're live now, and
Hello.
coming to you on the GamerCon Live Facebook page. So hello everybody out there and on the GamerCon page. Happy to see you. We recently just got finished with another event that was also run by the GamerCon World, or whatever you want to do, GamerCon Group, called the Casino Esport Conference. And what we're going to do is we're going to basically talk about the CEC 3D in review and comments. I have a couple of little tidbits on Twitch that we could check out, you know, some of the highlights.
Awesome.
We'll put that up on the screen and, you know, we'll take it from there because we had some things on some speaker sessions and some other things, but I'll share my screen and we can do it like that. So, Jen, you were a moderator.
I was.
First day seemed to go a little shaky. We had some things that went wrong. I think we worked in core in connection with the Gamer Jive folks. And for any of you guys that don't know what Gamer Jive is, Gamer Jive happens to be the people that will bring you this platform here. So what we have here is a couple of the little videos. In this one video, we have some, and then we used StreamYard, but through StreamYard, we also had some sessions that talked about the actual platform itself, which was an avatar platform. And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
What it was that you could go in and you could set up an avatar. I mean, what did you think of the experience? Just curious,
Jen. I thought it was sweet. I really liked the Gamer Jive platform. I do have to be honest. I go to a lot of conventions, like a lot. And I felt like I was at a convention, and I'm not just saying that because, like, it's your platform.
Right.
I wouldn't be so hype about it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
I felt like I was at a convention. The only thing was the videos in the actual, like, audience room. There were so many. If you were just in there, you had a video screen, and I think that's why you switched to the StreamYard and did the combination. But I thought the combination worked really well.
Right.
I thought it was really cool. I drank virtual beer. I put on a mask. I saw some fishing. I didn't do the fishing, but I saw people fishing.
Yep.
Breakdancing. It felt like I was at a convention. I liked it.
Yeah, well, it is. It's like the closest thing to being there.
It really is. Like, you can double jump. You can move your character around. Like, you're actually walking around looking at stuff.
Right.
I thought it was pretty tight, to be honest.
Yeah, so, like, if I'll share my screen, you'll see here.
Yeah, that's cool.
What we're talking about is during the event, you see, this was you're on this panel, Jen.
That's me. I look the same.
Yeah, and so on this side, you see the avatars coming in and people walking around, and above they have their names and stuff. And that was the cool part about it, was that you were actually able to connect with the people. You could everything you possibly could do, which you would do at a regular conference.
Yeah, like, even if you're standing next to somebody, you could click them and have a private conversation with them right then and there. It was cool.
Yeah, and so when we started off the event, we did try to put everybody in this presentation room. We wanted to do the conference where everybody was, like, in the presentation room. But what happened was the room was too small. We had over like, I don't know, per day, I think there were like 300 people in and out of the platform on daily. And so the rooms that had the presentation room for the panel talks was too small. It could only fit 50 people.
Oh, so that's
people.
Why.
And that's why we went over to StreamYard. And I think that for that reason, it made a lot more sense so that everybody could get a view.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice combination. I really do, because you had the link right there. It was, or not the link, but you had the link on the bottom left to watch the live on Twitch.
Right.
And then you can walk around freely, even while you're watching it.
Yeah, and not only that, but I mean, if you look at this, for the most part, I have a couple screenshots I think we have here, da, 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 if I can find them in here. I have so many things. Okay, so if you have some photos here, see if I can bring that up. What was there? So if I get this photo up, so this is a video.
Every
It's
year
a
that
and
I've
it
been there so far, I've learned so much. Even like as a
yeah.
moderator, even in the industry, I'm not in the casino gambling industry. Obviously, I'm more esports side, but like I always just learned
Right.
so much.
Well, you're getting, the two are converging at a lightning speed. And so what I'm sharing in the screen right now is the overlay, which was, so if you see, you could see the virtual world here, which was that room, and then your face is over here. So if you were in the conference, no matter where you were in the conference room space, you could always see your face or whoever was moderating the talk. So you could, since it was being streamed, it was also being streamed into the actual platform itself,
Yes.
which was just an actual plus. Did you see that on the screen that I just put up
Yeah, I
with
saw it.
your overlay? Yeah, so I just wanted everyone to know that. So success, like as far as actual having a virtual event, I think overall it was incredible. I think it was a lot of fun. And we had talks. I mean, the agenda in general was, I mean, the agenda was a great agenda. I mean, we had people from all over the country. We had some people from Germany that came in that was able to speak on a panel. People who I couldn't get to even come to our physical events because they lived in far distances, were actually able to come in, and they were coming from all over the world. We had people from the UK, we had people from Germany, we had people from Switzerland. There was a guy later on the second day, a guy, gentleman by the name of Tammuz Dubnov, at 6 p.m. East, Pacific time. He was a speaker in Israel. So, I mean, we had them from everywhere. And that was the best part about it, was that you were able to connect with people from all over the world. And here's the big announcement. So I'm going to give the big announcement is, and I'm going to put it up on the board and see if people
I'm
think
so
this is
excited.
kind of cool.
Announcement for me too. I don't know what it is. Drum roll, keyboard clicks.
Here it is.
In place of a drum roll.
Here we go. Let's see. I'm gonna scroll this one. Here we go. There you go. GamingCon 3D.
Oh, what's up? That's
President's
so
Day
sick.
weekend 2021.
That's sick.
So I just got off the phone with the Gamer Jive guys. We're gonna do this, we're gonna hammer this out. We're gonna be working on this starting tomorrow morning. It's gonna be a big event. We're expecting a large amount of people. And we talked to the Gamer Jive guys, saying, you guys ready for 1,000 to 3,000 people? What I mean by President's Day weekend is February 12th through the 15th. So it's actually a 4-day event.
Awesome.
And we're all going to be so sick of the COVID thing by then.
Yeah, harsh
And
winter.
yeah, it's going to be a harsh winter. I hope we're all alive by that time, and we haven't kicked the bucket because of COVID. But it's this is what this is the thing.
That's
So
awesome.
this is what we're going to do. It's a big thing, because we GamerCon really has been on ice for quite some time, and so
Yeah.
we're bringing it back, and we're bringing it back the only way we can bring it back today, which is virtual. And you experienced the platform, so you know.
And it felt like a real con, like, and I'm a true blue, like, video game convention person. It felt like being at a convention.
Yeah, and what we're going to be able to do is, you'll be able to meet up with your friends. I mean, I gotta talk. We're gonna have everything from cosplay contests to indie games to tournaments. To it's really, really. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the guy at GamerJai, Peter Perez, did you meet him?
Yeah, he was really great.
So he actually was a former, he was the former marketing director for DreamHack.
That's sweet. I didn't know that.
We're going to be contacting some big names in the influencer space, streamer space. And look, what's it really going to cost for like PewDiePie to drop into the event for like, 10 minutes
just like
and
a 20
talk
minute
to,
stream.
Yeah, and talk to some people real quick. So
gotta get Pokimane.
Yeah, we're gonna get Pokimane. Let me get that name down. And then there's some of the old guys that they're not old guys, but guys that we had, veterans of GameCon that we came to our physical event, like the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Cool.
And as well as what's the other guy's name? Vine Sauce. Yeah. So
that is killer.
So, yeah, I mean, we have a lot lined up. It's a lot of work. It's going to be, labor intensive. We're looking to do a Smash tournament on the Switch. So it won't actually be during the event. It'll be sort of offline on Switch, but we'll be able to,
like to the side
stream
of it.
We'll be able to stream it on Twitch. We're thinking Valorant, Fortnite, PUBG, COD, do you want to do a Gears, Jen?
No. This is dead.
That's what I mean. You did a Gears a couple of years ago.
Oh my gosh.
I remember that.
And Gears.
Oh my god. Yeah, it was Fortnite and Gears, and nobody signed up for Gears.
The Fortnite one that you had was popping though.
Yeah, that really did.
That
really
was sweet.
Did
but Gears was dead, that's why.
Yeah, Gears was dead. But I don't know. What do you think, Valorant?
I think Valorant would be sweet. I think you could do so much because it's online. As long as you have a tournament organizer, it's fine. I think people would love the Call of Duty. In my heart I want to say Overwatch, but I don't think people would sign up for it.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Valorant would be cool because it's really hot. You know what would be fun? Like having like maybe a community like Among Us tournament or something. I don't know.
Among Us. Well, the thing is.
What about Fall Guys?
Yeah, but even the Among Us platform, I mean, if you could do an Among Us little thing, would be great. But the thing about that is that the GamerJob guys aren't supported on mobile yet. So you can't.
It's not only mobile. It's like PC.
Yeah, I know. It's also PC too, but we'll figure it out.
No, I think Smash is good. I think Smash, Call of Duty, everything you just said is good. PUBG, everybody likes
it. I mean, we were thinking Street Fighter, but that kind of community, I think you really have to be in person for any of the...
It's definitely the biggest hype about that.
Yeah.
I think
but
Smash
I don't...
is fun because anybody could jump in and play.
Yeah. So we're going to... I mean, the Smashers don't really particularly like doing it online because of the latency.
Yeah.
But
they're doing it though now.
They're still. I'm sure a lot of Smashers out there that are getting pissed off about the latency.
You can even partner with like LAN centers that are open right now.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Have them host the kids. Like, if you want to join this tournament.
Well, Jen, you work at Helix. Why don't you get Helix involved?
I'll ask them.
Yeah. See if Murphy wants to get up and get involved with this.
It'll get people into his venue.
Well, I mean, it's also a push to get people into his venue. Mm-hmm. So he'll be out there, in the online connecting to gamers that would want to.
I'll see what they think.
At least in New England area. So we'll it'll all pull together. There's a lot of people that are, I got to tell you, there's probably like, there are people itching to get involved in something like this.
Yeah. Well, even like just having a fun community around like the indie games that are coming out, like just fun. You do a good job. I'm excited.
Yeah, that's gonna. I'm kind of thrilled too. I gotta get back into the swing of this. It's been a while, and I'm real excited about it too. But GameCon is back. That's the message.
GameCon's back, baby.
That's right. Anyway, so let's get to the news here. You talked about cryptocurrency punters.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be honest. I don't really know what punters means. I'm assuming it's people that use cryptocurrency.
It's a better. Yeah, so someone who's placing bets with crypto,
yes.
and they're taking the most, and that makes sense, taking the most risks in the esports betting industry. And I mean, we are at the CEC, and everybody who's not aware of what the the CEC is. CEC is a it basically stands for the Casino Esport Conference, and it's really a combination of discussions in regards to how the two worlds are sort of converging. And it's funny because the one world, the gambling world, is an older world, and esports is much newer. And it's sort of like, if you wanted to think of it in terms of people, it'd be like grandpa and his grandson. Esports being the grandson in this case, and obviously gambling being grandpa. But and not to, I'm not trying to bash the gambling world, because they, you know, they are trying. But the truth of it is that these are two worlds that are converging on different levels, and mainly right now, for those people that don't know out there, it's the wagering world. And that's the interest that the gambling industry has with it, is that there's a lot of money to be made, and there's a lot of money being made, but in offshore sites. And this particular article was about how cryptocurrency is more popular with people placing bets on esports. And of course it makes sense, because as a younger platform, there are younger people betting on it, and of course they're going to use their crypto to bet on it. And you know,
crypto users in general are taking a bit of a risk by getting into the cryptocurrency space. So the fact that they are the most risky when betting makes sense and fits their character.
Which I think
is why Bitcoin will be good for that world.
And honestly, during COVID, there is so much less ability to regulate these tournaments, even on the professional levels, as we saw what happened in July with the Call of Duty event. And we mentioned that on our last cast, which was about how the captain of that COD team just pulled the plug on his computer and they lost. And they were winning the entire match. It was totally like, if you could not be more obvious.
I know.
But you know, that was, you know, and then there was that, the other thing, there was another article. Oh, this article. I'm jumping all around a little bit.
The coaches.
Yeah, ESIC is 37 CSGO coaches and cheating scandal. You know, this basically explains a lot in regards to how esports is being damaged by COVID. It's not, people think that a lot of people, because they are, because it's video gaming, because it's online, that it's surviving and doing well. Esports itself is having a lot of trouble during COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to go on and play video games with your friends and connect and socialize through video games, yeah, that part's doing amazing. So if you want to discuss the 3/4 of the people who aren't involved in esports or competitive video gaming and they're just messing around, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's there's a gold mine of money to be made there. But esports on its integrity side is struggling during COVID, because you can't get these.
You can't police them at home. You can't really watch what they're doing 100%.
Right. So it's like, I mean,
it's almost even like stream sniping, like watching a streamer and then like going on their game and knowing where they are and killing them.
Exactly. But I mean, it's also thinking about, if you think about it this way, there are ways to get around it. It's like esports, just because it's so infantile, it doesn't have like structures in place. Perfect example: the National Basketball Association has created these bubbles for their basketball players. And in the beginning, when they first got everybody into these bubbles, and what I mean by bubble, it's a COVID bubble, is that they're not allowed to see their family, they're not allowed to see their friends, they're not allowed to go to parties, they're not allowed to do anything. All they're allowed to do is be with their teammates and play basketball.
Yeah.
This is exactly what esports could do. But because it's so disorganized, because it's not mature as an actual sport yet, where it needs to be, they're not at that level where they can, you know, they can bubble these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, if Blizzard, you know, decided they wanted to bubble the Call of Duty League, I can understand that if they did that, they could probably prevent and start working on having legitimate and in matches that had integrity. But right now it's plain and simple shit show. And it's having a lot of trouble. I saw recently that DreamHack also is now merged with ESL.
I
Did you see
didn't see
that?
that, no.
Yeah, that was
Really?
yeah, it was recent on the let's see. DreamHack
Looking it up right
merges.
now as well. Oh, wow, September 30th.
Yeah,
How did I miss
so
that? That's crazy.
yeah, so I'm just going to put this up on the screen
Yeah.
so we can see. Here it is.
That
It's
makes
a it's a
sense.
VentureBeat ESL DreamHack merge to create the ESL to create ESL Gaming. A very interesting move. But it does say a lot about what's happening because of COVID.
Yes.
I mean, combining forces, ESL and DreamHack will have expanded flexibility and skills to continue meeting the ever-changing desires, demands, and needs of its fans, community players, and partners while connecting with the broader audience. ESL Gaming notes in the announcement. Interesting enough that this happened, but we have to also look at it from a perspective of, how much are they actually do, and why are they doing this? Are they just pooling resources because, well, Jen, are they losing clients?
I
They're
think
losing eyeballs.
definitely losing eyeballs, that's a huge thing because people might just watch it to see how it goes and how it runs. Because if there's no like physical presence hype to this, it probably would get a lot less viewership just in general. I don't
Yeah.
think as many people that would have even paid attention to it, like physically going there, would
Right.
online.
Right. But that's the thing. It's,
But that is kind of a sweet collaboration between the two, and maybe it allows them to entice not only the players with like better pricing and more organization by combining the two, but maybe it's just a little bit of hype for the viewership as well.
right.
That is wild.
So, I mean, is there anyone out there that has, somebody might want to, question. I mean, at least in my opinion, I'm looking at this and thinking to myself,
Says they've been in a 5-year
like you
partnership.
said, they have. Well, ESL has always worked within, they've run their tournaments, their DreamHack, but this is like
Yeah.
an official connection to what's going on, and they're pooling their resources because why? Like you said, taking away the physical aspect from DreamHack and also not having any physical in-person tournaments for ESL, I mean, that's their entire business model.
Yeah.
So how are they getting, how are they selling tickets? How are they selling merchandising?
They're
How
not.
are they? They're not. It's just, it's sort of sad in a lot of ways that they, I think in the long run, I think they're going to have to somehow double down on the online experience somehow. And I think that's what they're trying to do. So connecting the two together, they might do something like what GameCon's setting up to do in February. But the GameCon company is a lot smaller than they are. So that takes, it doesn't take, and there's no, there's not a lot of investors in GameCon, so we can pivot very quickly,
Yeah.
which is nice. And GameCon generally is it's a grassroots conference, so I mean that's the advantage that
That's
we
the
have.
charm of it.
So I mean, in my mind, I think in the long run, we're sort of the first to market, but that was an interesting article there, so we saw. But getting back to the wagering side, I mean, Luck Box, here's another one that Luck Box launches free bets festival for League of Legends World.
So pretty much they're running a campaign from what just passed was September 25th through the end of this month, which would be October 31st. You do certain actions, I'm assuming through social media, and then you get yourself free bets by doing tasks during the event. So not only do you have to watch the event to see what the tasks are, you have to complete the tasks during the event, and then they match your first $20, which a lot of people do. So,
right.
I thought that was pretty cool, though. It's enticing. It'll get people more active in what's going on. It'll force them to watch. It'll give them, hopefully, some free money to bet with, thus maybe expanding the audience of betting. Because if you're not a bettor and you're watching the League of Legends Worlds, you'll see these advertisements. Maybe download the app on your phone. Maybe do a challenge or two. And then maybe you'll get hooked on it. I think it's a really good marketing tactic.
No, I agree. I know the CEO at Luckbox. They're based in Sweden or something, or Norway, or maybe even Germany, I think. But no, they have a great product. One of the speakers, I want to get back to the other article that we had on there, which was the cryptocurrency, because I just want to touch back on that. You know, we did at the CEC, we had Rahul Sood, who had created Unicorn Gold, which was one of his own cryptocurrencies. It's very difficult, and it's funny because the article we were talking about here in the cryptocurrency punter thing. It's very funny that, it's not funny actually. He had a real problem with the American securities. The American government can't get their handle on crypto. It's not something, they're sort of behind in that.
There's that one company that has a physical location opening in Las Vegas, and they're going to be able to legally have their cryptocurrency be Vegas's cryptocurrency.
Right. So there are already shops along the strip in Vegas that are also taking cryptocurrency, but the casinos have not taken.
Yeah, I think it's because of that specific rule that they needed a physical location. I'm pretty 100 about it. I think that's what the article said.
So he had to kind of take his Unicorn Gold and not be able to let it be traded or used in the United States, but it's still being used in Europe. So in this particular case, we talked about Luckbox and the cryptocurrencies, that crypto is very popular in Europe in the esports world. And it's something, you know, going to thrive.
You broke up a little bit. Ari's frozen. I'm still here. I'm going to talk about cryptocurrency and why I think gamers would use it.
Did I come back?
Ari's back.
I'm back.
I was about to get into my personal opinion on why gamers use cryptocurrency.
Well, let's hear your personal opinion.
I think my personal opinion is because it's digital, it's fast, it's digital and it's fast. I think that if you're a gamer, you're probably tech savvy and you want something a little tech forward. Like, I would definitely use cryptocurrency if it was easy for me to use and widely acceptable. I use my mobile wallet all the time because I don't want to pull out my debit card. I use my Apple Pay nonstop. I think that it's much easier and it's easier to track. And I think, especially for betting, it's only a perfect fit.
Well, it's also good for... It's also good for validation of who's using it, like age validation.
And age validation, tracks everything.
So make sure that it's not some, like, it's not your, you know, like your 10-year-old that's making a bet on a Fortnite tournament, which could be a problem.
They're already stealing your credit card and getting skins.
Exactly. That's not good. That's the
betting's
problem.
Next.
Exactly. Betting's next, and beware, you're going to get something even worse, and you don't want that. But I wanted to just I'm jumping around here because it's interesting. I want to show this clip of the CEC. Before we cut out here, because we're coming up on the half hour. But I want to show the audience this little clip that we had. Where was it? here. This was this is a clip of the game, the CEC 3D, and it shows people moving around and stuff. I'll just get this a little better here. Okay. Let's see if I can. Okay. So this was somebody who was actually recording their PC. And this was the space. It was actually just really cool in a lot of ways. And I thought that, you know, as you said, it was just, I mean, we're going to expand on this. It's just going to grow bigger with the GameCon event. And, you know, when we first started working together with the Gamer Jive guys, they actually wanted to do GameCon first. But we had already planned on doing the CEC, as you know, it was supposed to be in person. And all the planning and all that had gone into it already. We got our speakers and everything else. So that's why we ended up doing CEC first. But before we actually even get to the GameCon event in February, we might have a one-day indie game summit, like a GameCon summit.
Awesome.
With some speakers there. And then a few, we might have some qualifiers too. But that's still undecided yet for some of the esports side of stuff. But it's quite exciting. If you'll... very energized because it's this new, using this new platform. I mean, we're really going to try to, like, all these people are just like so COVID, like, I don't want to say COVID sick, they're just sick and tired of COVID.
Yeah.
Not that they're sick of COVID, but they were sick and tired of it. And
nobody wants to be in this situation.
Right. As you experienced during the Casino Esport Conference, it's just like as good as being there.
It really is.
I mean, for the most part, I think it's a lot of fun. And there was
the physical presence of being at a conference.
But not only that, there was also dancing. Your avatar could dance. There was a fishing pond in the back. There's a fishing game. You could catch fish. And there was a virtual bar.
I had a virtual beer or two.
And you can get free drinks the entire time.
And you walk so we're gonna, that it's cute.
Yeah, we're going to try to do that too. But
I like that.
Yeah, so, you know, that pretty much wraps up this week. I was trying to get someone, one of the speakers that was in at the CEC last week. I want to get some other people on that actually were in GameCons of past. Okay. I'm going to bring them in and we'll sort of start talking about that. But this is the first announcement of it. We're really
excited
about it.
GameCon.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. All right, Jen, I'm going to tap you for some work on this project.
I'm ready for it. I was going to ask, but I didn't want to ask yet.
Yeah, I don't think we have any questions out there today. A lot of people sleeping. So what are you going to do?
It's Monday.
Anyway, yeah, it's Monday.
Y'all are allowed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have a good night. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Have a good night.
Thanks.